Welcome to our Thriving at the Beach podcast, your reliable source of information and a peek under the tent regarding all of the amazing things taking place in our Grand Strand community. There are so many great things underway here that we believe it's time to start telling our stories. That's exactly what Thriving at the Beach will do. This podcast has been created for all the residents in this great coastal community because we want you to be the first to know things that are coming and get the most accurate and up-to-date details on every initiative. In this podcast, we'll be hearing from the community partners that are busy building a brighter and more vibrant tomorrow. These partners will include the City of Myrtle Beach, Myrtle Beach Downtown Alliance, the Myrtle Beach Regional Economic Development Team, the multiple chambers of commerce, the HTC Aspire Hub Emerge Leadership, key business leaders, assorted community partners, and many more. It's our hope that you'll catch the momentum of how we are and will be thriving at the beach. I'm Peggy Masterson, and I'll be your host for Thriving at the Beach. I'm the director of the Partnership Grand Strand Foundation, and in case you haven't heard about us, we are the nonprofit foundation that's an extension of the Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce. We were created by local business leaders to serve local residents and local businesses across all of the 14 communities that make up our beautiful coastal area. Our work allows us the opportunity, a very unique opportunity, to collaborate and support all of the organizations that are busy building a better tomorrow. This provides us a wonderful opportunity to collect all this exciting information and share it with each of you. I could not be more excited to be able to facilitate a way for these experts to tell their stories and share their exciting news with you. So get ready, get psyched to get a peek under the tent on projects, businesses, and opportunities coming to our area. I can't wait to watch you catch the momentum and then share it with others. Let's dive right in. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our newest episode of Thriving at the Beach, where, as you know, our primary goal is to get you excited about the future of Myrtle Beach and all of its surrounding areas. We do that by giving you an opportunity to meet some of the people that are busy working behind the scenes to power our success. And today's show, I'm super excited about it because our focus is going to be about talking with companies that are great community partners and how important their commitment is to driving overall prosperity in any community, but particularly so in our area. And it is my pleasure to be able to have Mike Chapman here as our guest today, who is the sales manager of Carolina Cool. And Carolina Cool is a wonderful example of an amazing community partner. You've probably seen them involved in a lot of things across the Grand Strand. And Mike is going to elaborate a little bit more on that for us. But we thought it was really important to be able to take a breath and recognize companies like Carolina Cool that are doing things that often get unnoticed and they're often kind of happening in the background. And I think when you look at those kind of things in detail, or when you take the time to think about them, they really are making a significant difference in terms of the overall prosperity in our community. So we certainly thank you for that. And we thank you for being here today.
Absolutely. Appreciate that wonderful introduction. That was nice.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell folks a little bit about you because you were kind enough to give me a little bio. So Mike Chapman is originally from Westborough, Massachusetts. He's a graduate of the University of Mass at Amherst. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. And he moved here to Myrtle Beach right after school, so he knew exactly where he wanted to go when he graduated, and I'm guessing maybe wanted to get out of some of that cold weather up in Massachusetts?
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to get out of the cold weather, and I actually had a really good friend that had moved down here. He was in the Marine Corps. He's one of my best friends from when I was a little kid. And when he got out, he had started a real estate company here locally. And when I got out of school, really unlike me, you know, I'm pretty planned out all the time, but decided I wanted to move down to Myrtle Beach, check it out. See, you know, he had said everything was going so great for him. Wanted to try and see what I could do down here. So
that's awesome. Well, and as a recent graduate, why not, right?
Absolutely. Footloose and fancy free, right? It was the time to do it, yeah. That's perfect.
Well, Mike has enjoyed a terrific career here in the Myrtle Beach area and actually came out of school thinking he was going to go down a career with engineering, and has since progressed into the sales manager role at Carolina Cool. And I thought a great way for us to start, Mike, would be for you to maybe tell us a little bit about that progression for you? So we're in Massachusetts. We have an engineering degree.
Well, my degree was actually in psychology. I had originally thought that's what I wanted to do, but I did. I also had a minor small business management, and I had experience with drafting on AutoCAD. So I'd had taken some classes with drafting. So that's kind of how I got into the engineering company.
Was through
having the degree and then also having the drafting experience. It really was. It was one of those jobs that when you get that job coming out, it was like, this is it. This is going to be my career. You know, everybody's proud of you. You've got this job at this great company. And it was kind of supposed to be that job that you really wanted to have. But something about it really just kind of never fit me very well. I didn't realize that right away. I kind of struggled with it a little bit at first.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody else is telling you you're doing such a great job and you feel like this has to be what I want to do. You know, it's a great job. You know, I'm doing well at it, but just never really felt that kind of passion for it. And then another thing kind of happened right there. This was right around 2008 and the market really kind of started to go downhill.
Oh, sure.
And really everything we were doing, it was a civil engineering company. So most of what we were doing really revolved around the construction industry. So it was a great company I worked for. We had a lot of employees. And I think that building actually went from about 50 employees down to 2 employees at that time.
Which was not uncommon at that time.
You know, when the building industry. So it really taught me a valuable lesson, too, about kind of a recession-proof, a quote-unquote recession-proof industry. So I really looked into it at that time, looking at the trades. I started saying, I really don't ever want to go through this again. You know, I don't want to be in something there where I really have to rely on, you know, the construction industry or, you know, certain industries to really be thriving in order for my career to thrive.
Mm-hmm. So that's wise.
Yeah. So that's really when I started looking at the trades, looked at plumbing, looked at electrical, HVAC, and really kind of put a lot of thought into it and decided HVAC, especially in this area, was the best bet. Went back to school for that. Got a job actually within a couple weeks of being in school.
Sure, because people need folks that are skilled.
And this was in the middle of a recession. This was one of the worst recessions we've ever seen. And within weeks of being in the class, I already had a job within the industry.
That's awesome.
And really wasn't sure what I wanted to do within the industry. You know, maybe start my own business at some point, what I want. But really, it has been one of the most rewarding careers. Something about it really just fit me perfectly right out of the gate. Had the right mix of problem solving and dealing with people. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned before I wanted to go into psychology, and I really think it was kind of a similar thing. That's what my major was.
Mm-hmm. Well, psychology spills over into just about everything, right?
It spills over into everything. And I really like people and I like problem solving. And it was kind of really HVAC deals with a lot of that day to day activity, a lot of problem solving, a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, it was just kind of the perfect fit for me. And that's the first time I really got that feeling of like, I could work a 70-hour work week and it felt like nothing. It wasn't like I was working. It was like, it was great. Something about it just
really fit me.
That's
hard work too. I mean, especially in this heat in the dead of the, or middle of the summer here.
It is hard work. It's very rewarding though. It's well paid, you know, you're paid well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're accomplishing something every day.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you looked into other skilled trades, mm-hmm. and what kind of propelled you there was this kind of notion that it would be a little less vulnerable to the market mm-hmm. turns and so forth. What was it about the other areas that you looked into? You mentioned plumbing mm-hmm. and electrical, I think you said, and then ended up with HVAC. Was it because of the kind of climate we have here and the fact that everybody needs a
absolutely
well-running air conditioner?
You nailed it. The other ones are pretty, you know, they do well during a recession time. You got to remember this was really, I mean, this was in the height of a recession that we hadn't seen in a long time.
Oh, I remember.
Mm-hmm. And so my thought process was, all right, with an electrician, there's certain things you're going to call an electrician. No matter what, you're going to have it done. But if, you know, if a light switch isn't working, if the ceiling fan's not working and we're in a deep recession, you may put that off a little bit. You know, plumbing, if you got a leaky pipe, you might, again, you might put a pan underneath it for a little while. You might, and I'm thinking HVAC, it's 105 degrees outside. I was like, I don't care how much money I have, I'm finding a way to get this HVAC fixed.
Oh, that's a great story. That's so true, too.
That's where my thought process was. And I really do feel fortunate that that kind of all of this happened at a time in my life where I was in my early 20s, you know, and I got to experience some things and have some thoughts like that that happened at a time where it wasn't too detrimental. I could, you know, survive on a lower income, or even being, you know, unemployed for a small amount of time. But I was very fortunate when it happened in my life, and I was able to make that career change.
Well, I love the openness and the way you've shared that story, because, you know, a lot of the work that PGS is doing is with kind of these upcoming graduates, whether they're high school graduates or whether they're college graduates, that we all have those moments where we think we want to go do something and we're not really sure, but we step out there, right? And sometimes the school of hard knocks kind of teaches us, you know, where we fit. And the fact that you gravitated towards something that you now love, I think, is huge, because it takes a little courage to make those kind of changes and to do what you know you were meant to do. So thank you for sharing that.
And absolutely. And you really, you know, you mentioned something there about some of the stuff we have going on here with, we've got a lot of programs out there that we try to get involved in. And I try to get involved with as many as I can to kind of steer young kids in that direction. Because it really is so often we push kids towards this, you know, 4-year college or 2-year college, where I don't want to say that that's not a good choice. You know, I don't regret. I never would say I regret going to college. I had a great education. I really am proud of that. But it really isn't for everybody. And then in a lot of cases,
and that's okay.
It's really okay. For some reason, we've really started to kind of create this stigma that going into a trade is, you know, kind of a less than career opportunity. And it's really not. A lot of these guys and girls, that's another thing. We really need to get some females into the trades. The ones we have are just phenomenal employees. And they do such a great job. I wish we could get so many more. And that's another push that we're really trying to make is trying to get females interested in the trades.
So you made this decision to go back and get some education. And I know from when you had shared your bio with me, you've been with Carolina Cool for 15 years.
Well, originally I started off with a smaller company. Well, really, I started off with a company, Ocean Drive Gas, had a heating and cooling division. Okay. For a little amount of time. He ended up selling right when I kind of came on board and got that first job, he ended up selling the gas company, he had a really large gas company. He ended up selling it to AmeriGas. So a lot of the stuff you see now that says AmeriGas was Ocean Drive Gas, which was a local company in North Myrtle Beach for many, many years.
Okay.
So when he sold that, AmeriGas wasn't really interested in the HVAC division that he had just opened. And so he ended up selling that to a company called Jake's Heating and Cooling in Little River. I do feel so fortunate. One of those situations where it could not have gotten any better. The owners there, the Kings, Tony King, had just recently taken it over from his dad, Tommy King. And it was a great opportunity. It was a smaller company. Tony was really kind of getting into taking that business and kind of growing it at the time. So I got to see him, you know, grow that business and be a part of that right from a young age. And he taught me so much about the industry. It really was such a great learning experience. But again, it was a smaller company. And as you're learning and you're growing, you always kind of saw a company like Carolina Cool in the background. And they really were kind of that premier company. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's the company you want to work for. That's where the professionals are. That's where, you know, that's really where you want to be. And I was very fortunate that the Wolf family gave me that opportunity. It's probably about 6 years ago now.
Okay.
So it was...
Well, and look at you, 6 years, and now you're the sales manager.
Yeah, and really, when I went to Carolina Cool, they really weren't sure, you know, what my role was going to be. You know, it was, they did a great job of kind of bringing people in. When they saw somebody that, you know, had some potential, they would kind of bring you in and let you show what you could do, you know, and they really.
So they were bigger, but they weren't so big that they couldn't invest in people, it sounds like.
No, they're always investing in people. The Wolf family always was incredible about investing in people, investing in their community. Phenomenal people to work for, and really cultivated a great environment at that company, which still lives on today.
Mm-hmm. So when you came in, did you come in as their sales manager, or did you work your way up to that role?
No, I came in. Really, it was a parts coordinator, what they call parts coordinator position. It is a sales position, but it's a sales position that deals with a lot of the day-to-day activities from the technicians. It really is an opportunity for you to see how that entire operation runs.
Yeah, because they need parts, right, all the time.
A lot of their managers have come from that position. Our service manager, he kind of started in that position. On both sides, actually, now our commercial service manager and our residential service manager, both of them kind of started in that position. After that, they kind of moved me into a role. They kind of carved it out a little bit. It wasn't an existing role. It was a technical consulting manager. And that really just kind of gave me the opportunity to branch out over different departments and help out in any way that I could, with some technical knowledge, sales knowledge, problem solving. You know, again, problem solving is really what I love doing. You know, I have a sales title, but I view everything as, you know, trying to solve a problem. If that problem is, you know, how can we sell this piece of equipment? How can we make this customer happy? Whatever we got to do, to me, it's all problem solving. We just got to figure out how to solve the problem.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it, because what you're really doing is putting the customer first. It's like this particular customer has some unique need, and you think about it as a puzzle or a issue that you need to, you know, to figure out how to solve. And I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and you know, so many of the skilled trade careers are really so deeply rooted in that notion of service and delivering the best quality service and consistently kind of holding employees to a high standard and those kind of things. Can you tell me a little bit about how Carolina Cool instills that kind of quality or set of qualities in their employees?
Yeah, absolutely. One, you have a group of managers that is their goal. Every manager in that place, we try, when something doesn't go right, you wish you could get it right 100% of the time.
Sure.
You know, but you're going to have an upset customer every once in a while. And when we do, every single person in there takes that personally. They really care, and they get upset that customer walked away with a bad experience. So it really starts from the top
down.
Yeah,
you got to care.
You have to care. And the other thing, too, is we are involved in the community. We are involved in the community because we want to be involved in the community. And we want to be able to go out into our community and wear a Carolina Cool shirt. And we don't want to hide, you know. So that's one of those things. A lot of people, they don't realize, yes, you can kind of use being involved in the community, getting involved as advertising. But you've got to have the backside of that. If all you're doing is just, you know, shelling out some money to kind of sponsor an event, but you don't put in the effort to have people that care about their customers, it's going to show up, and it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's kind of an empty promise, right?
It's really an empty promise, and you've got to have people that are willing to go to these events and show up. You got to have employees that are willing to go set up a booth, and if they don't feel like they're being asked to treat the customer in a way that they would want to be treated, they're not going to go out and promote you the way that you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to retain employees. You're going to, you know, the person working that booth, you can probably go to any one of our booths at any one of these places and see somebody that's been there 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you know, and you see that same person working that booth that was there before, because they want to be there, you know, and they're happy to be there representing Carolina Cool, representing the community. And that really, that means a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's really, you know, I think that speaks volumes about how much everybody cares. And that's how you really get that customer service, is everybody has to feel like it's, you know, it's a part of them. It's a part of the culture at Carolina Cool.
Yeah. And what I hear as I'm listening to you is this really kind of treasured reputation. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, people can talk a good talk, you know, they can say whatever they want, but it's gotta be proven. And that's what kind of sustains a company over the long haul, especially in the service industry. I think it applies to any business, but I mean, Carolina Cool has built a tremendous reputation in this area. And is it just in this area, or is it broader than the Grand Strand?
So it's really just in the Grand Strand. And again, that all comes down to customer service. I think there's been a couple times where we've tried to branch out a little bit, you know, our service area more, you know, past Conway, Aynor, Florence, out that way. Mm-hmm. And you really, what it comes down to is you can't serve the customer the way you want to. We want to be able, if you have a maintenance agreement with us, or if we sell you a piece of equipment, something happens, we want to be able to get out there the same day, even when it's 105 degrees outside. And if we can't do that, we're not kind of delivering on our promise that we make.
Wow,
and
that's powerful. There's times then that maybe the decision to provide good service trumps the
every
kind
day
of desire to go earn more money or have more clients.
Every day. We get calls out in that direction towards Aynor, Florence, that way, nonstop. And we'll look at it on the map and just kind of see, you know, and when it's really tough is, you know, on a day where you might be a little bit slower, you know, and you really want to take, you're like, oh, we really could use this today. Mm-hmm. But you know that when it's August or July, or, you know, you're not going to be able to serve that customer the way Carolina Cool wants to be able to serve that customer.
Now, is the HVAC business franchise? And like, in other words, I know it's very competitive, but is there like geographical boundaries that individual company needs to stay within, or is that all kind of up to the company? And like you described earlier, in terms of making those decisions to provide the best service.
So there is a little bit with HVAC equipment. So if you're, we can get any piece of equipment, but if you want to be a factory authorized dealer, like, you know, Ford or Chevy, where we're a Carrier, that's our main brand. We can do Trane. We can get any brand out there. But we are a Carrier factory authorized dealer.
Okay.
So that's where you kind of have boundaries a little bit more. You're only allowed to have so many in a certain area.
I did not know that. Okay.
And like a company like Carrier, that's kind of your premier. So in order to have that, you've got to really prove yourself and, you know, live up to a high standard to be able to keep that badge. So
as the sales manager, Mike, how many individuals do you have that are working inside your organization right now?
Total employees, it's about 165 employees right now. It doesn't feel that way though. It's so funny when we say that 165, it seems like a big number, but you know, it does not feel that way.
Well, they're out in the market, right? I mean, I see your trucks all over the place, and the your little mascot is, what is his name?
The Cool Cat.
The Cool Cat. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I love that guy.
No, we are everywhere. It's amazing when you drive around. Even I'm just like, another truck, another truck.
So he doesn't feel like it because they're really out doing their jobs.
They're out doing their jobs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and then in the office, we've got a great team. A lot of people that have been there for a long time, mm-hmm, and really,
well, that speaks
are dedicated
volumes too, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's kind of shift gears for just a minute. Thank you for answering my silly questions about HVAC.
No, I love these questions. This is something I really am passionate about. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, oh, you're going way down a rabbit hole, because I just go off on a tangent because I do. Something about this industry really, I can't express it enough how much it fit me so mm-hmm. well. And I love it.
That's
really
awesome.
Do.
Well, and I'm sure that's inspirational to someone that's learning or listening, I should say, that's like, man, maybe that's a good fit for me too. You know, that they should explore those things and not be apologetic about what great careers lie in that skilled service sector.
Yeah, so, and I think it is one of the last remaining opportunities out there where you really, what you put into it, is directly what you get out of it. You really, and you can see it. And, you know, other industries, I feel like, and I've been in them where they're, you know, there's a little bit more politicking involved where, you know, you might work harder than the person next to you, but if they're a little bit better at communicating what they did to the boss, maybe they get a promotion over you. That happens a
it's
lot.
It's life, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. that is life. And in the trades, it's very, very much what you do. There's, you can't really hide it. It's going to, if you work hard, it's going to show up. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, if somebody isn't working hard, no matter how much they talk about it, it's going to show up that they're not working very
yeah.
hard. And it's what you put into it. And I mean, from the top to the bottom, you can go anywhere you want to go.
So a little less baggage in some ways, you know, work hard and let
work
the
hard.
Results speak for
yeah.
themselves.
Work mm-hmm. hard and you can, there's different levels to it. You can stay a technician and you can still, it's very lucrative being a technician. You can still make a really great living being a technician. If you want to come out of the field and be a manager, those opportunities are there. Middle management, upper management, and they really, you can do all of that from starting at the bottom within the industry, mm-hmm. if that's what you desire to do. You know, you can kind of pick your path. And really, if you want to do it, all it's going to take is hard work. There's not going to be anything holding you back at all, except for, you know, what you want to do.
Yeah. Well, I love that. That's absolutely inspiring. I feel like that's a message that we have to get out more broadly. And I know that, you know, you're participating in one of the programs that we have coming up here in November, which is really Partnership Grand Strand's first kind of venture into really reaching into the high school here in Horry County and exposing these juniors and seniors to the skilled trades. Can you tell me a little bit about how you happened to decide to participate and what has you energized about that opportunity?
Yeah, I really feel passionately about getting these kids excited about the trades. I go to as many of these events as I possibly can in the school systems, just trying to get the word out there that, you know, this is a great path. This is a great career path. Try to get them excited. So we are going to be setting up a booth. We've been working on a project. We've done something similar with it in the past at some other events where we really try to keep these kids engaged. And they've got to put together. We're taking some small PVC pipe, which is used in both HVAC and plumbing. And they'll have to they can compete against each other to put together. We're going to have a drawing of like a little something for them to put together with some measurements.
Like a model or something?
Yeah,
like
a little model. It'll be somewhat, you know, something they can do within 3 minutes or so, but still with different fittings, and they kind of have to follow the instructions and put it together really quick and compete against each other.
Oh,
there's
going
to be three little booths set up for them to kind of compete against each other just to really try to keep them engaged, because that is really the name of the game right now, just trying to get these kids engaged.
Sure.
And hopefully once you get them engaged, you can kind of talk to them a little bit about the opportunities that they have out there that they might not even know about or just be overlooking.
Yeah. Well, in this program that I refer to is we're calling it Build Something Amazing, as you know, and that's exactly what we're hoping to do. Not only expose them through the partnerships like we have with Carolina Cool to actually come and do some kind of hands-on activity, but we've also created a whole kind of, as you know, a whole list of job descriptions for each of these skilled trade areas to share with these students in terms of what credentials do you need to be able to work in these fields, right? And what kind of career progression can you expect to achieve, and what kind of, you know, personal salary base or income can you expect to achieve? And we're hoping that, you know, by doing that, and again, it's our first step forward in that regard, but we absolutely appreciate Carolina Cool not only being involved in that particular piece because it's so skilled focused, but I'd be remiss if I didn't thank you for Carolina Cool's Diamond sponsorship with Partnership Grand Strand. So we appreciate that. And because of your commitment to Partnership Grand Strand, I want to also mention that I want to thank you for your board service and the work you do with our subcommittee. So thank you for that. That's examples of involvement right there. But are there other things that you could share with us today? I know Carolina Cool does a lot of things in the community, but are there some things that come to mind that you would like to just kind of showcase today?
Yeah, obviously we are very involved in the community. We're always trying to sponsor different events. We've been the a sponsor of the Chamber annual meeting, I think, for the past, I don't know how many years now, for a while. The past couple of years, we've also done the Myrtle Beach Economic Development Committee annual meeting. That's coming up. That won't be too long now.
It's in January.
Yeah, January. Mm-hmm. We'll be sponsoring that event. Yeah, so we sponsor a lot of events, you know, within the Chamber, within the EDC, and all the great programs that the area has to offer. But one of the things we actually have coming up here very soon that is kind of in-house is that we're doing a charity event, Operation Warm Wishes, mm-hmm. which is going to be we're going to offer two free systems to a family in need. So if anybody out there has, you know, a family that they wanted to recommend to that is in need this holiday season that needs an HVAC system installed, we're going to be providing two families with a free system. That includes the system installation and everything. And that's just another way, you know, we're trying to get involved with the community.
You're so modest, you know. I mean, my God, we've built a couple homes over the years, and we know firsthand how much an HVAC system costs.
Yes, and we're going to be partnering with Carrier on that, and they will help us with some of that equipment cost, which is great. They're a great partnership. They help us a lot with things like that.
Now, is that something that Carolina Cool does every year, or is that something that's just starting this year?
So we have done things with with veterans in the past with a free HVAC system. Again, we're trying to open it up a little bit more. Obviously, we love veterans to be a part of this. We love helping the veterans any way we can.
They can apply, or is it an application process?
Yes, there is an application process. They can go to our website. There will be a link on the website for you to go on there and recommend anybody that you think might be in need.
Let's talk a little bit about internships and apprenticeships. Does Carolina Cool participate in anything like that or offer anything like that to individuals that might want to learn more about the trade?
Yes, we do. We are definitely open to having internships, apprenticeships.
So folks that come through the internship stay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, you know, one of the things we're finding is this whole notion of, we talked about build something amazing and exposing the students to this kind of other world of possibility, right? Those that are interested, what we're finding is that when they do get that practical experience as an apprentice or as an intern, it does often convert to employment. And you're saying that you've had some pretty significant success, it sounds like.
Yeah, we've definitely had a lot of success. And a lot of times there's grants out there. There's a lot of things that are out there for these students coming through or people that just want to learn in the trades where they can get some significant financial backing. I know there was one program out there, it's really escaping me right now, where they would even purchase tools.
Really?
Yes, they would. It was a really great program that we had some success with there for a while. I'm not sure that it's still going, but they would purchase the tools.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole, you know, South Carolina apprenticeship program mm-hmm. that offers scholarship money to individuals. And, what you know, one of the things we're really trying to do from a PGS standpoint is really identify where are those companies that mm-hmm. are interested in offering that, because mm-hmm. the scholarship's no good unless there's a company that's going to be willing to take that student on and develop them and give them the experience.
If I'm putting on my critical hat a little bit there, now, one of the things that is difficult with that is the paperwork and getting those grants and getting that money into the company can be challenging.
Mm-hmm. It requires
almost a full-time position. Verlin Wolf's son-in-law, Tony, when he was with Carolina Cool, he was really phenomenal with that. He had a lot of experience in he had an education background, and he understood that paperwork better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a huge asset to us, being able to come in and kind of filter through that and figuring out exactly what you need to do to be able to get students in and, mm-hmm. and get them on as part of the program. Because it's not easy. That's the one thing that
yeah.
I think.
And to have somebody that not only enjoys doing it, but is good at it, you're
yeah.
right. That's a tremendous asset. I mean, for us, it's about grant, you know, mm-hmm. writing and so forth. I mean, it's tedious and it's time consuming.
And if you make a mistake, you know, then you might not
get what you want.
You might not get what you want. Yeah. And so it's tough.
Well, cool. Well, we have put a little bit of information in our upcoming newsletter that folks can certainly look at as it relates to the Operation Warm Wishes. I think that's an awesome program, so we want to definitely support you in getting the word out as it relates to that. And as we kind of wind things down and really kind of talk about, as we opened the podcast, we talked about the fact that, you know, local businesses that care about their reputation and care about the community are visible in the community and are getting involved, like Carolina Cool. I'm curious to get your perspective in terms of how do you, as a representative of Carolina Cool, how do you feel about the current environment here in the Grand Strand and what the future holds for our surrounding area?
I feel great. I really do. I really feel like Myrtle Beach is heading in the right direction. We've got so many wonderful organizations that give businesses an opportunity to thrive in Myrtle Beach. One thing that also has really kind of made me open my eyes to how great things are going, being part of PGS, when you're in a room with a lot of business leaders, you would think that kind of, if you asked a lot of people, I think they would think, you know, with these people in the room making a lot of these decisions, they're probably going to do whatever they can to kind of push the money to flow in their direction, or they're going to make decisions that really impact only their business. From what I've seen with the business leaders in Myrtle Beach, when they're together, they're discussing how they can make Myrtle Beach better, how they can make small businesses better. They're hardly ever, well, really never talking about their own business. They're talking about what they can do to really make everybody else's business better. And to me, that's just been a huge eye opener. And it really kind of shows me that Myrtle Beach is really heading in such a great direction. It's been fascinating.
It's like a grassroots kind of community coalition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when I think about Partnership Grand Strand, as you mentioned earlier, and being privately funded by mm-hmm. a group of businesses such as Carolina Cool and others that have come together and basically said, let's invest in a 501c3 that can work on some of these things that are going to help my business be stronger,
mm-hmm.
help my community thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see that in a lot of markets. You don't see private investors stepping up at that level and then donating their time and energy and expertise to kind of help us figure out what is the next best direction and what can we do. So it takes a village, as I say, in terms of, and I think what I'm hearing from a lot of folks, and maybe you're alluding to that as well, is there's this notion at this moment in time of maybe all the stars aligning or individuals from multiple organizations kind of marching in the same direction, interested in accomplishing the same goals. And I feel like PGS is just one piece of that. But to know that that's happening, and that's part of what we want folks to hear in this podcast, is the future is very bright when you have that many people aligned and working and marching and moving in the same direction.
Yeah, and that's it. Really, everybody is going in the same direction, and everybody's goal is really just to make Myrtle Beach better as a whole. You know, you really don't hear anybody talking about, well, my business that, we need to do this because of this. It's really, what can we do? How can we create more small businesses? How can we, you know, the businesses that are there, how can we help them to be more successful? And that, when you have a lot of people getting in, on the same page in that direction, I think the sky's the limit for Myrtle Beach as far as driving growth and really just being successful as a whole.
So you made a decision many moons ago to make your home here in Myrtle Beach. And what I'm sensing is that that's a permanent decision. You're planning on staying in this area for the balance of your career.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things I never would have thought that, you know, being born and raised in Massachusetts, living there my whole life, I loved living there. And when I moved here, wasn't sure that was going to be a permanent thing. Meeting my wife down here kind of helped a little bit too.
Of course.
From leaving, you know, she was a great reason to stay. But again, the community, it's been great to me. It's really been a great place to be a part of, and really a place that you feel like you can be a part of. I think sometimes you kind of hear about this, you know, Myrtle Beach being a place where, you know, if you are, you know, to get into the inside group is difficult, and there is an inside group. And it's not that way at all. It really is. If you want to work hard and if you want to be a part of this community, all you have to do is just work hard and show up.
Right? Exactly.
And that's it. Yeah. It's about, now nobody's going to hand anything to you, you know, which is great in my opinion. You have to show up. And if you want to be a part of the group, the door is wide open.
Mm-hmm. A very, very friendly, positive vibe for sure.
Extremely.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's a great segue to say, you know, any individual that wants to get involved in seeing us succeed, meaning the community, the Grand Strand community, has plenty of opportunity, just have to look for it, right? And just get involved.
Just get involved. I mean, that should really be the theme of Myrtle Beach. It really should, because if you get involved, it will really, you'll see the fruits of your labor, so to speak. It's a wonderful community in that way, where everybody kind of supports each other.
Well, Mike, we so appreciate, as I mentioned earlier, Carolina Cool's support of Partnership Grand Strand and all of the other things that Carolina Cool does to be an amazing community partner. I hope that this will be the first of many visits for you to come back to our podcast. And if you've got other folks inside your organization or anything that you would like to kind of come and chat with on the podcast, we certainly would welcome that as well. So thank you so much for your time today, and we'll look forward to having you back soon.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Awesome. I was so glad that we were able to get the opportunity to chat with Mike today. And I love that he shared not only the importance of community involvement from local companies like Carolina Cool, but we also got the chance to talk about the amazing skilled trade careers that exist right here in the Grand Strand. I thought the fact that Mike shared his personal success story is a good example of what can happen as you progress through a skilled trade career. I hope that'll inspire others to pursue skilled trade professions and achieve the same success that Mike has had. If you don't know it, Carolina Cool not only does HVAC, but they also do plumbing, electrical, and indoor air quality work. work. They do this for both commercial and residential properties as well. So they cover a large, gamut of the skilled trade professional opportunities. We're so grateful to have their partnership in this community, and we are super appreciative of everything they do to keep the Grand Strand thriving. We'll have them back soon, and Mike can talk to us more about the things that Carolina Cool is up to. But until then, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and keep thriving. So that's all for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. You can find this podcast as well as a transcript of the podcast on Partnership Grand Strand's website, which is partnershipgrandstrand.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll release a new episode every other week, so stay tuned to get that behind-the-scenes info on how we are thriving at the beach and across our entire coastal community. Till next time, keep thriving.